Mick Williams Summerline with you, 844-RADIO-US, 844-RADIO-US. Little thing in the USA Today. I generally don't read them much for other reasons, but some things have popped out recently. Did you know there's new rules of communicating in the digital era?
No.
I did not either. It says connecting people has come so much easier with technology, but it's getting caught up in a major disconnect by violating a tangle of new rules for communicating. A big one for some, don't call until you've texted to confirm it's okay to call. The worst thing to text to anybody is the word K.
Really?
Yeah, supposedly that's getting annoying.
Isn't that your favorite text?
K?
Yes.
I do send K, don't I?
Yes, you do.
I have a friend of mine, she goes, KK. And I was like, okay. But, I'm driving or something, you know, I think K is fine. At least, you know, it's a catch-22. If you send K, somebody's going to be hacked off because you said K. If you don't send anything, guess what? They're hacked off to, where did you reply to me?
And that's what I get because, frankly, I'm one of those people that I'm not really great on texting people or replying. I could do better on the replying to text.
I love texting. And the reason I love texting is I'll have a conversation with somebody, and I won't even remember half of it after we got off the phone. Because you get caught up in everything. I said, did he tell me to go to the west end or to the east end? Mm-hmm. You know, here I've got it in time date stamp and say, well, I told you to go east. No, man, right here at 422 DST, you said go east. And right. There it is. I have it in black and white. And, of course, later on a week, you come back to something and you can't remember it. You go back through. One of the things I do with mine, I do my grocery lists.
Right.
I text them to myself.
Uh-huh.
One day I got a text from Glenn. He says, dude, why are you telling me you need to buy ham? Oh, sorry, man. You're the one down below the list. But anyway, a lot of times they just say, you know, just say got it. Make it a little bit easier. Don't text and say, hey, did you get my last text? You know I got it. And also there's social media express the test for people who don't follow their own written golden rules. K is the worst response ever. Just don't. It's an unsaid rule in texting. If you weren't the last person to send a text before you fell asleep, you should be the first to send one in the morning. Doesn't everyone know the unsaid rule? You have to send at least 3 texts pretending to be friendly before you can ask for a favor. Rule number 1, if I un-add you on anything, do not ask me why on something else, especially if I don't know you. Now, I have a rule about phones, and it comes in the daytime.
Okay.
When I am at home certain days of the week, I'm in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I work the jobby job. And we have a rule. At least they didn't think we had a rule, but I grounded it into them enough we have a rule. And it's always sad because when the new person comes online, they don't know about the rule. And the rule is this. If it's my day off, you know, if I'm working for you, I'm all yours. But on my day off, if it's between the hours of 7:30 in the morning mm-hmm. and 3:05 in the afternoon, don't talk to me. You might text me. If it looks important, I might speak to you. But there'll always be that yabo that will call me. And they go, hey, dude, I was wanting to know maybe if you might want to, instead of being off this day, be working that day and work overtime. What time is it? What? What time is it? 12:35? That's right. It ain't 3:06, is it? No, call me after 3:06. Bam! And then it got to the point where people were calling doing the same thing. I said, dude, I'm in the market, 3:06. Boom.
Right.
And, you know, people like you or others that I want to keep in contact with, we generally talk in the back end on text. And so if it's an important emergency or something, and I look at the text, okay, well, I'll go through that. But here's what happens. I go through the market. I do my thing. The market closes at 3:00. I have my tea, you know, satisfaction of a job well done, right? Celebrate, have my little hot tea, and it's 3:06. I'm pretty much done, and I'll talk to people after that.
Right.
Well, it's gotten so much around the building that I think they've been screwing around with the new guys,
and having them call you.
They're like, hey, listen, I need you to do a favor for me. Here's Mick Williams' number. Call him up and ask him if he can come in tomorrow for 3 hours. Okay. And sure enough, the guy calls and go, oh, dude, you're new, aren't you? All right, here's the rule.
Yeah.
Blah, 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 blah. Is it 306? No. The worst one was my manager's manager. I have a boss who has an assistant boss as a main boss of the group.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the main boss knew the rules. The assistant boss who came online didn't know the rules. And supposedly she got quite peeved.
Ooh.
And there was a little bit on the floor said, and she kind of pulled me in the room and says, do you want to explain to me this rule you have? And I said, yeah, it's pretty simple. What time did you call? I called at 1:35. That's right. It's not 3:06, is it?
That's right.
And then one day, the funniest one was somebody was going to call me, and somebody caught him with the last minute. No! That's not 3:06. Don't, no!
So what's the deal about 3:05? Is that when you make a last trade or what?
Well, the market closes at 3. And so I'm winding down and making my tea and sitting down and enjoying my tea, and then I was like, okay, I will now talk to the world.
All right, that works.
Because what happens is you'll get people that will call you for the most inundane things. Most of them are the ones that want to sell you something. Get the Obamacare, the Medicare, all the other crap.
Right.
But then you get somebody from work, hey, dude, this is so-and-so, and I was just like, wanting to know if, are you making me money right now? Is this important to me? I don't know, am I?
You know,
off goes the phone.
You know, caller ID says my most frequent caller is scam likely.
Yeah. I got a nice little app called Phone Block. It's doing quite well.
Yeah, that's good.
7-day free trial, and then you pay so much for it per month, and it'll wipe out everything short of a herd.
Right.
But
not bad.
Yeah, I don't have that many problems because I can look at a phone call and tell it's a scam, but I can also see when they call from the jobby job because it pops up and says the name. Uh-huh. Now, I don't know who's on the other end, but I know that's them calling.
Let me ask you this, and this is about the texting stuff.
Yeah.
I'm curious, you know, how do you send texts? Because when I send texts, I've started using this slider method, the slider keyboard, to where you...
Swipe?
Yeah, you take your finger and you start on the letter that you want to start with, and then you swipe it over, you know, you slide over to this, that, you know, each of the characters, and then just take your finger off, and then it's there.
Yeah.
Now, before I did that, I was always doing the dictation to the phone. You know, I'd push the button on there, the microphone, and it would just convert it over.
I just thumb type it.
I think that I like that one the best.
I think it's a little easier, and plus, swipe's going away. They've discontinued it. So it shouldn't be on any of the newer models.
Oh, I'm not using that one, though. But
there's a third party that does
it. Yeah, the keyboards, I think the keyboards just have them included.
Yeah.
Because
mine has a toggle, I think, where you can do it via text, and you know, you just speak it.
Mm-hmm.
You bubble another one, and it's the regular keyboard. You bubble a third, and then it's swipe.
Right.
You just drag it.
I use that quite a lot. And sometimes it gets the right words. You know, a lot of the times it gets the right word, but occasionally it gets wrong.
I'm getting tired of the autocorrecting me because it doesn't like foul language.
Ah, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, and I'll say S-H-I-T, and it'll come back and say shut. S-H-U-T, and they're like, that's not what I was trying to convey.
Okay.
But that's been the biggest rule with me with the phone is like, you know, this is my time. You had your time. Don't be crouching on my time. I don't come in and interrupt you while you're making money and trying to get your little spreadsheets done and everything with your managers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't be coming into my place asking me a mundane, stupid question because you know two things about that question. One, I don't do overtime.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because I'm making money over here.
Sure.
And the other thing is, no, I'm not going to come in on a day off because my schedule is so structured that I don't have time to come out there. These are the days you have me come. And on the days that I'm not coming, don't call me and say, hey, I need you to swap days. It ain't happening. I don't swap days. They know this. So that kind of weeds out a lot of it, but there's always the new guy that they like to screw with.
You know, we don't have to talk about it now, but at some point I want to hear about your computer setup that you're doing all this trading on. I want to hear about how many monitors you got. I want to hear about how many.
How powerful is your computer? It just makes more money.
Yeah. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
But there's lots of features in there that I want to know about.
Yeah.
So
and you went to the online trading academy thing.
Yeah, I did. It was neat.
Yeah, I just got Glenn signed up for the half day.
It's always good. I'll tell you this. It's good to understand all the little finite details about stocks. And I did, you know, I was always like, well, with stocks, it's like, what are you going for here? Because it just always seemed like something that you couldn't understand. And so I went and I took a class so I could understand all the finer details of purchasing stocks, selling stocks, stock options, all of that, et cetera.
And now it has come for the time for you to apply it.
Yeah, I need to do that. I haven't done it. It's one of those things I keep putting off.
But, well, you know, I always joked about I would never need two screens. And I sat in one of those classes at OTA, and I saw why you needed two screens. Because you got a lot of stuff up on the board that you jump around from place to place. I was like, okay, fine. I need to break down and get two screens. So the new system I'm putting together, it will have two screens.
Uh-huh.
But there's some guys I've seen that you get these stands where you can take a 17-inch monitor and you just put it on. It has these little goosenecks. Like Charlie has one.
Sure.
To see his screen. So he has a caller on one side and what he's doing on the other. And it's a very heavy base. You can get them at Amazon for like about $37. And they have little gooseneck things on. You just attach them onto the end. You can move them around. And they're all on one base. But there's actually some guys that have six screens.
Oh.
It's like 2, 4, 6. It looks like the little light thing that you see at Indianapolis where it starts counting down and the drag racing starts.
You do understand. Like the more screens that you have, it's like breathing. It's the easier it is to breathe.
Yeah.
Because you've got more places just to set different applications or whatever you're working on.
Yep. And we kind of have that thing here. Now, they're not together in a gooseneck. We have two screens that are separated, but we can move stuff back and forth from one to the other in the way the computers are set up. But, again, I could see now where I need to because, you know, I could have something over here. I'm monitoring a stock. I'm looking over here at news over here. Maybe I have CNBC on. But these guys, man, they're getting radical with these six screens.
Uh-huh.
And then some of them have them fanned out like it's panorama IMAX.
I can't say I've gone to six screens, but at work I do actually have three. The notebook has an LCD screen on it, and then I've got two others that are paired up with it. So it's, you know, I find I use one for, since I do a lot more web development work, I'll use one to put the web page on. I'll put one, you know, one will have the IDE on there so I can make the changes. And then over on the right-hand side, you know, I hit and refresh the screen for the web, and then it shows exactly what the changes I did made very quick. And then usually on the third screen, I've got all the incidentals, like all of my Outlook or any of the emails that, you know, just stuff day-to-day operations are over there.
I've got to look at my Acer notebook that I have because I know I have an HDMI out. I'm trying to remember if I have a regular VGA out, and I'm not even sure if it can do dual screen. I'll have to look at it.
Most of them can.
The newer ones can. Yeah,
you'd be surprised at how easy it is to add an extra screen.
But I just put a little NVIDIA card in the back of a Dell, a couple of DVIs and a V, and put that little thing on a stand, and voila, man.
Yeah, but when you get a chance, just go, plug in another screen, just see if it works. A lot of times it's just as simple as that.
Yeah, because that's what I'm having to do right now since I'm at the halfway house. I got to work out of the notebook.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but that's also nice, too, because if I don't want to sit in front of that desk, I go take it in the bedroom, sit in my nice little comfy chair, and I'm sitting there going along, just tooling along with it. And that's another thing. I got iOS 12 finally set up on my iPad.
Okay, why?
After it nailing me all the time, going, you need to upgrade, you need to upgrade. And I'm thinking, you're going to screw me. You're going to screw me. I'm going to lose something. You're going to screw me. And it turned out really good. It was better than I expected. And I had 3 or 4 apps that I lost, not because it blew them up. It's because the developer didn't take them to 11. I had them as far back as 6, and it took them up to 10. And, of course, it says your developer needs to update this to 11 in order for this to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there were 4 apps. I really didn't use them that much. Knocked them out, and that was that. But I record Charlie's show, and I also record our show off of it through TuneIn. And I was afraid with the TuneIn upgrade and everything, they'd cut me off on the record or wipe out all my files or anything. And it turned out to be pretty good. It was a little touch and go at first because the way it loaded, I thought it died on me. even though I had it plugged into the AC and they're all, and it's working. Now I'm looking forward to getting the pen.
Which pen?
That's the pen that you get that you can draw on it, because you had to be an 11 and above in order to have the drivers and stuff to draw stuff with the pen. And the OtterBox has it set up to where you take the snap piece off and it has the little kickstand where you can lay it in there and work with it and tilt it up and everything. Well, it has a place where you can snap in your pen. So when you're not using it and then you close your clamshell, it's all together in one spot.
Nifty.
Yeah. So I'm going to get the pen and see how that flies. All right. We'll be right back. Cyberline with you. I ain't going to give you the phone number because we're in the last few minutes. So we're looking at gadgets here, and Bob has something.
Yeah, I was looking at a travel router. Have you ever heard of one of those?
No, it's the first time I've actually heard of one.
Well, what they do, it's a convenient way. Suppose you go to some place like and stay at a hotel. What do you end up having to do constantly? You take one device and you connect it to the hotel Wi-Fi. You take another device, you connect it to the hotel Wi-Fi. You take a third device, you connect it to the hotel Wi-Fi, and constantly you're always having to do the same thing. I've got to enter in whatever the hotel username and password is, and it's always something that they've told you downstairs, and it's always a hassle.
Or sometimes it doesn't work, and you got to call the 800 number, and then they get your MAC address so they can plant it directly in. I've done that with an iPad.
Right. But there's two things that you can do to get around this. I mean, it's not exactly around it, but what you do is you can set it up to where you only have to do this thing once. And that is, you get a travel router, you connect it up to the Wi-Fi of the hotel, and then instead of connecting up another device, you just use that router, and every other device in your room, you just connect it to that router only. So it makes it a lot simpler to where you can just do that one connection. Now, I've got that. We'll look at a few of the details in there in a sec. But there's also
looking at it from the side here. That's pretty good.
Yeah, there's also a couple of one other thing that you could do is if you've got a hotspot on your phone,
right?
You can set that up, and same thing. You can connect up to a hotspot on your phone, and then all of your information is going to go through in a much more protected fashion. By the way,
right.
It's going to go through the hotspot in your phone.
Now, it also depends on the hotspot in your phone. Like with my phone, I think I can do up to 4 gadgets at one time. Some of the newer ones will do up to 8 or 10. So
right.
You need to check your phone and see what it...
You know, but if you're going through 8 or 10, that's a lot just for a temporary service.
Now, if you're family.
Well, if you're using it for permanent things, sure. Yeah, I guess I can see it, but you're really stretching it there. Yeah,
yeah.
If you go up to 8...
In a hotel room with the kids and they want to watch their own little tablets and you're doing something and everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It'll add up pretty quick.
Right. But overall, if you use one of these hotspots for the hotel room, you know, yeah, you're connecting up at good speed. You get around 300 gigahertz, 300 megabits per second,
right.
Hopefully. And then you're connected up to that. You've got other thing that you can do is look for whether or not it supports all the different protocols of your devices. You want to make sure that if you've got 5G devices, you've got a router that supports the 5G. You make sure that if you've got a device that does 802.11n, you know, the different protocols
right.
on there, you want to make sure that it does that, especially if it does AC. That's even better.
Yeah.
So you're looking for the higher speeds. The higher speeds, the better. So it's awesome. You can also, if you want, you can connect up these things via maybe perhaps a USB port. So instead of having to go through Wi-Fi, well, why not just connect it directly, and then it goes in there, and then you let that device go ahead and connect up to the server. But a unique feature of having a router that you're going through is that it's a bit more difficult for them to come in and hack you. Now, I don't want to sit there and say this is perfect and the panacea or anything like that, but what it does is it prevents them from...
There is a firewall.
Yeah, it is. It's got a firewall in it. So it's not going to be as easy for them, someone externally, to come in and start, you know, that's just in the next room on their Wi-Fi to hack you that way. However, you always got to watch the, you know, things like sniffers. They can actually might be able to see what your passwords are, anything, because all that stuff's transmitted over the line. Now, again, the way you try to get around that stuff is that if you're connected up to things like HTTPS instead of HTTP,
right,
you know, it's going to be a secure connection between your device and the server that you're connected to.
You turn on the little switch for the VPN.
Yep. Yeah. You can do that too, because I know that you really like that, and I like it too. I use a VPN to go through, you know, a third, you know, just a way that it gets around all that stuff.
Now, the only thing
it encrypts it.
The only problem I have now, and of course they're starting to fix it up a little bit better, is you have to sign in and get their website, do the terms, condition, all that. It's hard to do with a Roku because you can't get to the website. So there's a lot of those things they've already kind of tweaking in the new models and stuff. All right, well, we're going to get out of here, and we will see you next week. And until then, the words of the great immortal Orson Welles, we remain, as always, obediently yours, and rest in peace, Peter Tork. Good night.